podcast. Biblical and reform, let's go.
Welcome to the bar, come on and pull up a seat. And open up your Bible, what a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities, and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, yo, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. Yo, this is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. Yeah, this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, the nations. Welcome to the modern reformation. Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here. Another Tuesday, out the blue, out of nowhere. And if you're on YouTube, you see my face, something you ain't seen in a long time. And you see another handsome face in here with me today, my brother David Knight, which is not a stranger to this podcast. This guy actually kept the seat warm, as he said. He ran this podcast, hosted it, had some amazing guests, kept it going. But we got David here for another reason. But David, for those, because you know what, Dave, I'm finding out is people is finding this podcast that are new to Reformed theology, that are just discovering, they're just doing a search and we're popping up. So they might not even know who you are, Dave, man. First of all, brother, thank you for coming on. Second of all, introduce yourself to the folks.
Dwayne, first of all, thank you for having me back on the show. I've missed you. I've missed that intro. I've missed the podcast. We need to be getting this back on a weekly schedule again, Dwayne. I'm sure everybody else has missed you as much as I have. And thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to have me on, because, you know, we've stayed connected during this interim period. And over the last couple of weeks, I've just brought out a brand new book, What It Means to Be a Christian. For those that don't know me, my name's David Knight. I'm based over in the UK. Married to Elizabeth. We've got three grown-up sons, one of whom turned 18 yesterday, so I'm feeling particularly old today. Founder of the ministry Exposit the Words, and I'm very, very blessed to be here with you today, Dwayne.
Wow, 18-year-old, man. Welcome to the club. See, I have a soon-to-be 26-year-old, and I have a 19-year-old now. Yeah, so, and I got two little girls, so I started over. So I
wonderful.
Yeah, man, so that does make you feel old. I totally understand that. We are some young spry 40 plus men here, and I'm excited. But David, man, so I was elated when I found out you came out with you wrote a book, and because I know just your passion for, you know, expository teaching and the word, and just you know, just any kind of medium, like I've always watched you and always admired your work. But let's talk about this book, man. Like, I like to know the inspiration for things. Like, I like to know where it came from. Of course, we study scriptures, you know, we inspired by the word, but what was the thing, man? It was like, yo, I'm about to write a book. Like, talk to me, Dave.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, this whole book's been brewing for about 7 years. The actual writing of it came out pretty quickly, just because I've been marinating and concerned about the elements of a book that I've written about, which is basically about cultural Christianity, Dwayne. Something that's familiar worldwide. It doesn't matter whether you're in America or in the UK. There's this assumed faith by so many people, and for various reasons that we talk about in the book, where people just assume that they are a Christian without realizing the need for the new birth and realizing what actually being a Christian involves. I've spent a bit of time as a full-time evangelist, spending a lot of time speaking to people, having the same conversations over and over again, and yeah, just been burdened to want to be able to write this book and actually come up with a resource that I would have loved to have had myself, where I can just hand it to people and say, look, you know, just reflect on the many different aspects that we cover in the book, because I've really, you know, in the book we talk about 10 common misunderstandings, and during that process we've tried to almost leave no hiding place for someone to sit comfortably if they're not actually born again.
Bro, like that was actually, you know, the direction I was going, that part, because whenever I read that section, I was like, man, the UK is just like the Bible Belt. Like, you are facing, like, I always used to joke, like, it's hard to evangelize in the South of America because everybody's already saved. Like, I used to be my slogan, but apparently it's like, it's not just here, they're here. Is there too, man, because you break down, like, you know, like the misunderstandings, like people just don't have a clear vision or clear knowledge of what it means to be saved, what it means to be born again, what the gospel, and you walk through those, man. And so and that I can tell that you were heavily influenced by the evangelism that you to do, you know, because of the interaction. It's like, it's almost like you're answering questions, or you're probing for questions that you ran through on the street. Is that something am I in the right direction?
Oh, Dwayne, you've hit the nail on the head. It's exactly born from all of those interactions that are so, you know, common. And it's growing as well. I mean, there's no more dangerous place to be than, you know, just being assumed, you know, that you have peace with the living God. You know, you think of the warning that Jesus gave, that there will be those that say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all of these different things in your name? And what does Jesus say? Matthew 7, get away from me, I never knew you. And, you know, brother, it's probably similar to where you are right now. I see the younger generation of my son's age, and where political Islam is growing and becoming more and more popular. And as a result of that, you're seeing a generation of people say, well, look, I'm not happy with this, and I'm certainly not a Muslim, so therefore, what is the answer to that? And then there's just this assumption that if you're not a Muslim, therefore you're a Christian. So again, people would just be confident without understanding anything about the Bible, anything about the gospel, anything about their great need of coming to Jesus in repentance and faith, and just say, well, I'm not a Muslim, so therefore I'm a Christian because I come from a so-called Christian country. And of course, like you said, brother, when you then start speaking to somebody in the street, and you know, you give them a tract, or you engage in a conversation, they're the hardest people to speak with, because they say, oh, no, I'm already a Christian. I'm already all good. So therefore they don't see their great need.
Man, so many, my mind is just going, I do miss this, y'all. So y'all, you can tell, but listen, so the Muslim political thing, you know, it actually reminds me, I mean, we're getting infiltrated too. You know, I got a buddy send me stuff, but it reminds me of like the Democratic Republic thing here. Like, you know, if you're not a Democrat, you automatically a Republican. And so it's like, you're not a Muslim, so you automatically a Christian, like without, you know, any real conviction, without really, you know, any, you know, change of heart, you know, any, you know, anything. It's just like a default, which is unfortunate. But another piece I'm gonna go to, but actually I'm gonna look like you want to say something. You want to say something? Cause I got some another direction. So go ahead.
That's a face I just always pull. I always look like I'm about to say something. Dwayne. that's my resting face.
That's funny. So the other direction I was going was in popular culture. A lot of artists proclaim God and God this and God that, you know, and in a way where it's not like it makes people think that all you gotta do is say it, you know. Drake got a song, you know, God's plan. I know it's old. If you're a young person, listen, don't come at me. I know it's old, but you know, he's talking about God's plan, and you know, and you know, pray, and it's a cultural thing, but there's no heart change, there's no conviction, there's no you know, there's no regeneration. It's a cultural thing. And the irony of it was, when that culture shifts, especially in America, when it comes to hip hop, when that culture shift, a lot of Christian rappers weren't saying God because they didn't want to get singled out. They didn't want to, you know, and it's funny, like, y'all supposed to be proclaiming the gospel, and then these guys over here are just saying it, not knowing the true and living God, and not knowing, you know, or they're talking about a God, but not our God type thing. But all of that, my mind was just going in all those different directions when you're just talking about that. So,
no, you're absolutely spot on. And I think this is another burden of a book, in terms of, it's a call for those that already are Christians, and for those that, you know, and every Christian, every born again Christian should be involved with evangelism. It's not an option, you know, an optional extra. Everybody should be out there proclaiming the gospel in one way or the other, whether or not you're preaching on a Sunday or whether or not you're, you know, speaking to family and friends. And there's a real burden that we need to understand the culture that we live in. Exactly what you're just saying, Dwayne, where there's this assumed faith, even in popular culture. And the visible church has to, sorry, the invisible church, rather, you know, the distinction between the two. There's the visible church and the invisible church, right? The visible church that the people of the world would recognize as, you know, that's a church building and those people are all Christians. They won't be able to see the wood for the trees. But us, as born-again Christians, the invisible church, the church that God would recognize, we need to be people that are speaking with absolute clarity and not encouraging streams into the church, into the body, and often the motive, Dwayne, is you just think about your typical journey of somebody who might visit the church on a Sunday morning. Somebody will come in, everybody's really pleased to see that person, everyone's really friendly, which is great, it's coming from a good place. But very, very quickly, if that person returns and starts coming to church Sunday after Sunday, at some point there's just an assumed faith, often, that just because that person's coming to church that they're a Christian, without ever actually dealing personally with their sin and coming in repentance and faith. And the danger with that, brother, is we're even seeing that in a pulpit, and the amount of times that you can, you know, listen to somebody preach and they're just talking about all of the promises that are found in Christ that are for born again Christians, but they're just liberally and generally sharing that to anybody who's within the hearing of them on a Sunday morning. So you think it'd be possible to walk in as a visitor on a Sunday morning, your first ever time going into a church, hearing these promises that are for those that are born again, and then thinking, well, I need to go home and make my roast dinner, so I'm out of there before even speaking to someone. And you're leaving that place thinking that you're at peace with the living God. And there's no need to call for repentance and faith. And then what happens? Brother, when we're in the high street 2 weeks later and we're talking about the need for them to be born again, they already have this assumed faith. They already think that they're a born-again Christian. And there's so many different streams into this assumed faith. And that's what we talk about in the book. There's 10 that we pull out. But more than ever, we just need to be really, really clear and differentiate, you know, between and make a distinction between those that are born again and those that are not. Because eternally, there are huge, huge consequences in two very different places where those types of two people end up, right?
Absolutely. Huge consequences. Man, that is so good. And I used to, it's funny, I had the same thought when, you know, not my current church, but churches I were part of in the past, where there wasn't a call to repentance, where there wasn't a distinction, but it was all the promises, all the blessings, all, you know, and you're thinking this for you. And you know, my current church, because even like we do communion and we say, you know, if you're not a believer, you know, wrestle with Christ. I mean, you know, wrestle with the Holy Spirit, you know, just try to figure that out. Like we clarify that every week. Like, hey, if you're not a believer, this isn't for you. It won't make a difference for you. You know, you need to talk to somebody in the back or whatever. And you make that distinction as opposed to, you know, one of the churches that, you know, your trials in your way. God got a blessing on the other side. And he's like, you know what? I do got trials. You know what? For me.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Familiarize yourself with what I call Christianese, and you don't have a real real call to faith, man. So that's good. So I do want to, there's one section that I want to talk about because it hit me personally. The misunderstanding of walking down the aisle, because that was me, brother. Like I was an aisle walker at a young age without a real conviction, you know, and that's part of my testimony is, you know, I did it out of, you know, just that's what you're supposed to do, you know, and it was years later. But I just love that you brought that up because there are people that, you know, walk down the aisle with you know, and, you know, there was no real conversion or no real transformation or, you know, out of a, I mean, you know, just the whole ceremonial aspect of it. Sometimes that lead people down and they think that there's something going on and it actually isn't. So that part I really enjoyed because, again, it was it was more personal for me, man. So super kudos for that.
And Dwayne, you see that as well. I mean, you know, I've spoken to people in the street before and they've told me that they're a Christian and they'll talk about a time in 1985 where they went to a Billy Graham crusade as an example.
Yeah.
And there's been no living faith. There's been no evidence that they're a Christian, you know, in the last 30 years, but they're looking back at an external decision and are told by an authority figure. Now, that's not to say that there were not people saved at the Billy Graham crusade. It's not to say that people haven't been saved by some sort of external decision, by raising a hand or saying a prayer. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
What I'm saying is it is extremely dangerous for an authority figure to just liberally, again, like what we were saying earlier on, just to be telling people that they're now a born-again Christian. And effectively, those people are walking out of a meeting without any conversation with the person who's just told them that, you know, no discipleship, just being told that they're now effectively being given a get-out-of-hell-free card. and that they're going to spend the rest of their life, you know, thinking that they're at peace with the living God. And brother, just to sort of almost emphasize how bad this is, you know, you think about, again, in your culture and in our culture here in the UK, there are Christian pastors that will take a fee to go and do a funeral for somebody they don't know. They'll get paid to go and do a funeral to a non-believer, somebody who had no professing faith at all, amongst an audience of people who aren't Christians as well, and reinforce this whole notion that this person is now in heaven, looking down on them and giving this false peace without sharing the gospel with those in attendance based on some sort of works basis. Often this person was a really good person. This is not Christianity. No. You know, this is not the gospel, but yet how many hundreds of these funerals are taking place on a daily basis? I know somebody else who had they bumped into a chaplain at a church, at a hospital, who, what a privileged situation to be in, where they're going around with those who are days or hours away from death. And this person was, again, just liberally going around. And he literally, to quote him, was going around saying to people, "I've had a word with him upstairs and everything's okay. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be in heaven." And no mention of a gospel at all, but taking a position, a paid position within the visible church, going around giving this a false assurance. And it's just, that's why I'm saying, really, with this book, brother, if you're a believer and you're reading this book, it's a call to clarity, you know, for us to be making sure that the language that we use is precise and that we are making a difference between, you know, those that are born again and those that aren't, because it is just so dangerous.
Bro, that, how can he sleep at night? Like, I couldn't imagine, bro. You know, like going around doing that, like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's despicable. That's, Lord have mercy on him. Hope he repents, because that is horrible. All right, David, now that you got me bummed out. I guess getting ready to land a plane, man. Are there any other aspects of the book that you want to kind of bring out, that those, you know, because we're going to make sure we have a link to the book in the show notes and make sure people pick it up, man. Any other part you want to get into before we start landing the plane?
Yeah. So thank you, Dwayne. After we talk about the misunderstandings with the gospel, we do also talk about what it means to actually be a Christian. So after conversion, what that life actually looks like, because, again, there's much confusion around that. even in terms of sanctification, in terms of the fruit that we bear, sometimes without people realizing that can subtly turn into a works-based gospel just a little bit further up the line, where people have almost taken the baton from Jesus, saying, well, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And now their faith and dependence is actually based on their own works, a little bit like what the Methodist Church used to teach. We talk about that. We talk about being filled by the Holy Spirit and what a Spirit-filled life looks like, because as we both know, there's lots of confusion around the Holy Spirit as well. We talk about wrestling with sin. We talk about joining a local church and the need for discernment in doing so. So I'm really hoping, it's only a small book, it's only 100 pages deep, but I'm hoping that there's lots in there and it's concise enough to be able to hold somebody's interest and to be as helpful as possible, not only for that person buying a book, but as a book that can be given away to and those who are trying to understand the Christian faith as well.
Yeah, no, this is a really good book for someone that has a relative that, either new to the faith, or have questions trying to figure out where they stand. So this is a really good gift piece. So make sure y'all get one for yourself, one to give away. Matter of fact, get three, get one for yourself, two to give away, because you want to double your portion. I'm just kidding. I'm going to prosperity gospel, y'all, man. It's a little bit of dust on me, but no, for real. I, like you said, short book, but a lot of really good content. David, where can they find the book, brother?
So we've got a page on our website that points you to the relevant local Amazon page. So if you go to expositetheword.com/book, it's got a trailer, it's got some endorsements on there, a little bit about the book, but you can also then go straight to your local Amazon platform so that you're making sure that you're paying the cheapest possible postage for that. I'll also say as well, Dwayne, it's free on Audible. So if money is tight, then please get it on there. On Kindle, it's free via Unlimited, or it's only 99p to buy as well. Every 3 months, we'll be making it free, because that's the cycle that we're allowed to do. We don't want cost to be an issue. We want this to be as inexpensive as possible for people. Nobody's getting rich off of the back of this book. And I'd also say as well, if you're a church that wants to buy these to have on a resources table to give out to visitors in the church, then send an email, which is on expositetheword.com/book. And we can get those sent direct from Amazon to you at cost price. And I think it works out about $2 per book. So then that way you can order 10 or more copies, and then you can give those out to people as part of your church's evangelism.
Absolutely. And like I said, in the show notes, we'll have a link to that, so you guys can tap on it. It also, because we're on YouTube now as well, you can tap on it there as well, man. So David, brother, listen. I appreciate you pulling me out of retirement.
Hopefully for good.
Hey, we'll see, man. This feels really good, man. It feels really good. I need, you know what? I need a booking agent. I need a post editor. I used to do all that stuff myself. I cannot do all that now. But yeah, I need, if you're listening and you want to help me find guests. You want to schedule and line it up, man, that'll be wonderful. But no, so much fun, David. Listen, brother, I am super proud of you, man. The thing I love about David is, even though he's such a handsome guy, he don't want to be the front face of everything. Like, he much rather play the background, long as, God gets glory. And we share that. And that's why we always got along really well. Just super proud of you, man, and super happy to talk to you and get this time and God use you, man, because you said let's do it, and I was like, let's do it. So we out here, man. So I'm gonna start rambling because I'm getting emotional. But anyway, David, anything you want to leave with the folks when we get out of here?
No, brother, I think you've covered everything that we need to speak about. So thank you so much, Dwayne. So good to see you looking so handsome as well. If you're listening to this on Spotify, make sure you go and check Dwayne out on YouTube, because this this new version of Dwayne is absolutely incredible.
It's an upgraded version. All right, y'all. God bless. We out of here.